orgasmic carmatic, then you, and female Satan, the fallen.
Welcome to the Ooze, this is Orgasmic Carmatic, and I have Female Satan and Betty Doom with me today. Forgive
Hi,
me
everybody.
If I space a little bit.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm a little bit spacey today, so I'm warning you ladies. I was up way past my bedtime. Grand Rapids has been rather crazy for the past week. Apparently, everyone with guns wants to go out and shoot people.
I understand.
You know. Hey, you know, if I was a fucking psycho, I'd probably go out and do it, too. So.
Are they all experiencing a rash of gun crimes up there?
Yeah. After the fireworks downtown about... probably 5 minutes away from my work, actually. Two kids got shot down there. And then yesterday, of course, Grand Rapids was in a huge frenzy because we had this dude who called his mom and told her, I killed my wife. And so he went on a 7-man killing spree. He killed two of his ex-girlfriends and their daughters, and one of the girls was actually his 12-year-old daughter and her parents, and shot two other people and held people hostage. I mean, this is some crazy shit. It does not actually happen. GR is not like that.
After 4th of July?
Yeah, dude, after 4th of July, man. But, like,
well, that just makes everybody
yesterday.
Look bad.
Well, you know...
I go a little bit psychotic every 4th, but I've managed to not get involved in any hostage situations.
See, I was very, you know, very tame this year. I went out and I got some Taco Bell and I watched the damn fireworks by the theater, by the house, and that's what I did. And then I came back to the house and... lo and behold, a couple of people got shot downtown. I'm like, are you serious? You know, talk about news you don't want to come back to.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess this is what happens when you get a herd of people, you know, all excited about something.
The guy that killed off the 7 people... yesterday, I think he wasn't even from Grand Rapids, and it freaked me out. Like, I left for a while last night because the first shooting was really, really close to my mother's house. So, of course, I went in freaky panic parent mode trying to find my mother and my brother and my daughter and my son. Because
yeah.
At that time, they had only said there were 3 people and there was a 10-year-old kid. And they didn't even release if it was a girl or a boy. And I'm like, oh, God, my brother is 9.
Oh, dear.
So I went on a massive rampage trying to find them. And, of course, my mom's phone was off. So I couldn't find her for, like, the longest time. I was calling my daughter's father and his wife. Have you heard from my mom? It was just a very awful experience. I don't know. They're holding a vigil downtown tonight. And I said, you know, I'll leave it to Grand Rapids to take everyone's mind off of the Casey Anthony trial. We would do some shit like that. Casey Anthony's not guilty. We go ape shit and kill everybody else. Go figure.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's my excuse for being a little bit spacey. It looks like we lost Betty. Yeah, we definitely lost Betty. So we'll wait for her to call in hopefully soon. Maybe she's out making a sandwich. That's the excuse. She's making a sandwich. So while she makes her snack, our topic today is herd versus pack. And I thought, you know, it's a really great topic to talk about, but we should probably cover, you know, what are the differences between a herd, you know, and a pack.
Okay.
Now you hear the word pack around Satanists a lot. They all attack as a pack. And, of course, the herd, you're following in a herd, sheep. But I was thinking about it earlier, and I was really curious, is there a difference to following a herd, so to speak, and following a pack?
Well,
is there a difference being part of a herd?
Well, I think it kind of depends. I don't know. I mean, herd implies sheep, like somebody that just kind of, with no questioning or no anything, just follows whatever the most, you know, whatever the consensus is. Tim is hardcore, calls them bobbleheads. And that's what I think of when I think of sheep, is it's bobbleheads, you know. I think pack is a little bit different, you know, at the end of the day, in that that tends to also have a leader of some kind, but it tends to also, you know, have some different mandates to it. I mean, what do you think those would be, the differences?
Well, as I was thinking of the qualities of both groups, because they are very similar as I went along and thought about them, because to me, a follower in a herd is no different than a follower in a pack. Which I guess would go along with the whole bobblehead theory, because in any group you're going to have that. I find that a lot of times the attack in a pack is started by one person, and then people follow along in the footsteps of that other person. Now, does that qualify as a pack or more as a herd? Because either way, there is an ultimate alpha there, and they're starting it. Where in a herd, there is an ultimate alpha there, whether it's comical or not. They're still following in another person's footsteps. So I wasn't really able to see too much of a difference between the two of them.
Well,
personally,
I mean, I don't know. It seems to me that you do have occasional things that occur, like especially on the internet, where like I've been posting something and three other people have literally posted at the same time. Like we were all writing at the same time, and I didn't even notice they had posted until after I had posted too, and it's like, well, that's kind of weird, you know. And you know, those things do happen too sometimes. Also, I think that people have a tendency to kind of, you know, everybody's kind of, you know, got their own version of an opinion on things, and I think that there tends to be a commonality, you know, in a school of thought that speaks quite a bit. And I don't always think that's a pack necessarily attacking so much as, you know, it's kind of, you know, I may have a perspective that differs slightly, but is similar to somebody else's.
I can see that. Now, let's see. Do you think that there are any benefits, like, for either or? I know, obviously, it is easier for those who choose to travel in a pack to have an opinion of the benefits. But do we see any benefits in a herd?
Well,
the power in numbers.
Well, I think there's that. I also think that there's a, I don't know, I think that people that really do that quite a bit, especially herd up, you know, you'll see it in different forms. I mean, even in real life or on the internet, which is that a marginalized group will tend to kind of lump together, you know, and to try to protect each other, which I can certainly see and understand, in any context, is that, you know, it's like you're kind of the smallest person you're getting picked on, but there's five or six of you. That's better than, you know, just yourself. And I think that that happens sometimes too.
Okay. We keep dropping Betty. I've had her about three times. So if she's listening, keep on trying.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to be said about Satanists that travel in packs.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you'll find, I've noticed that there is one difference between a herd and a pack. And in most cases, a herd is full of non-alpha people.
Yep.
And a pack is more full of alphas. And I
yep.
think that's why they come across stronger than the herd does.
Mm-hmm. Well,
however,
I would agree. Go ahead.
You can go ahead. Try to look something up really quick.
Well, no,
shutting down.
I was going to say, too, that that's interesting, too, because, like you said, a pack can be full of alphas. I would certainly say it's the case, and I would also say that if you ever watch the people that will qualify like that, they tend to also attack each other. Like, if you have three or four people, like they'll rip each other apart, but then when somebody else kind of messes with that group, you kind of have all of them on you. You know,
yeah,
like,
they forget.
Like I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
They forget the target. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. And they'll.
Too.
Mhm. Oh yeah, yeah. And I've seen that. And then at least for me personally, that's where it kind of differs, because there are a few people that I really respect and get along with on the boards, and they have a tendency to criticize my work, you know, quite fully, and you know, we'll have like what look like very, very vicious back and forth. But most of the time, if I start reading through their comments, I'll realize that, you know, they're making very solid points. And but then on the other hand, there's also quite a few occasions where we've all sort of attacked somebody together too. You know.
Right. I've always thought, at least when I first got into Satanism, I always saw it as a very individualistic thing. It was you against pretty much everyone else, singularly.
Mm-hmm.
I further inspection proves that it's not necessarily always the case, unless there is a lone dog, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
I find there's a lot of benefits to coming to just being singular and by yourself, which I try very hard to obtain and to stick to. I don't try to really team with anybody. I don't play well with others, I guess you can say. So my question is when is it time, do you think, when you are a part of this pack, to step away from it, like excommunicate yourself from it?
Well, I think it happens. I think that some people grow in one direction, some people grow in another. And I think that even in a pack situation, you still have very, very, very differing thoughts. I mean, even within a pack or even a herd to some degree, you still have individuals operating. They've just kind of come together under one umbrella of some kind. And that's kind of a distinction, is that they'll still be huge variances in their opinions on things. So I think that it starts coming down to personal choice then, like you know, and where you want to orient that and what you want to do. I personally have had a rather unique experience recently, where a lot of the people I had respected highly came out, and they're ONA. And I wound up looking into it, and I like it, and I have actually adopted it now. And it, in a lot of ways, actually, it was a decision to sort of stand alone, because I am not as into it as most people are, and I'm certainly not as you know, I don't appreciate some of the causal forms and stuff. I'm sorry. I know, no buzzwords, but still. But it sort of happened, but there's the five core principles that I sort of, like, I went through and reread all my stuff before I made that decision, and I realized that without using the buzzwords and completely tiptoeing around them, I would make the same point most times. So that was kind of where I was like, well, you know, sometimes labels hit you, which I always fight labels, actually. I mean, like, I started on the side as an adversarial Christian because of the whole individuality thing, and I really had an internal struggle to pick up the label Satanist to begin with. You know, because I really didn't want to be like everybody else. I really wanted to be different. I really wanted to be like, well, you know, I'm pretty close, but I'm not exact. But then at some point I started reading through my stuff and I started realizing, no, you are. And that's when I picked up that label. It's the same with this one, is that, like, I look through my stuff and I'm like, well, I'm sort of doing this without doing it. And I do wonder how much of that is And I do believe when they say the descriptive thing, I think that I just sort of was stomping around it without quite knowing what I was talking about, which is, you know, like I said, what actually picked the label up is because I was like, you know, I will fight something to death. And then at some point I sort of realized, you know, this is like saying you're a boy when you're a girl, you know, kind of thing. And then I'll go ahead and be like, okay, fine. But it's actually normally quite mentally, at least, ridiculous what it takes to get me there.
We do have Betty back. So, Betty, if you can hear me, you are back on here. Try not to I've dropped you like three times. I don't know what's going on with that, but apparently your studio's bitch today. I like what you were saying. It made me think of why certain people actually end up in packs. And it's very much a commonalities thing.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that I don't hang out with very many people, and it's because I don't really share a lot of similar things with people in my outside life. I communicate a lot online. We just lost Betty again. Because of the fact that I see eye to eye with most of the people online, which is unfortunate because y'all are spread all over the damn world.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the ONA, I mentioned earlier that, you know, while it's not my cup of tea, you know, it is very attractive to people who have the same goal, the same mindset. And I think that's what makes the ONA strong. Like, I see the ONA more as a pack than a herd because I don't see them actively recruiting people. Which is another difference between a pack and a herd.
I'd
fall into a pack.
Yeah, I'd say with ONA the opposite's the case. I think they try to steer people away. I'd actually posted about that yesterday where I was like, you know, if I ever asked a question from one of them, the thing that they would say would always be like something that would be like, translation, go run screaming in the other direction. But, like, I just kind of kept coming back. And some of the people that have been, you know, meaner to me on a thread or a forum have been that. And it sort of, at least, you know, in my
experience. Y'all don't let me on yet.
You're here?
Yeah, she's back.
Oh, shit, you've been able to hear me every time I've been able to hear you?
No, you've been off for like... Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
So let's hope you don't drop again. The little blue box is getting longer and longer on my screen. I can't see anything.
The other girls are dropping me.
Yeah, you know, I'm dropping you. I'm doing it on purpose, by the way, just to let you know.
Claro.
My sinister message. I hope you're getting it.
It tickles.
I feel so goofy because I just did, like, the finger point to the eye to where you would probably be if you were standing in front of me. Like, I'm watching you, and that's just really awkward. So, Betty, since you haven't been able to speak at all, do you see any big differences between a herd and a pack?
Yes. To me, a herd connotates like volitionless movement of a large body of animals that think they're moving in like an organic, self-directed kind of way, but are actually being led. A pack always has like a unitive leader that everyone recognizes and respects. And so that's the big difference to me, is that a herd is blind. Like, sheep don't know that the border collie and the farmer are actually working together. You know what I'm saying?
That's a rather evil way of looking at it. Poor sheep. Well, I had mentioned to FS earlier that the reason I didn't see very many differences between a pack and a herd is because push comes to shove, you are following in someone's footsteps. There's always the main person, or at least what I've seen is there is always, even in gangs, there is a main person. And they're all grouping behind this one person or one idea or one aspect, you know. Did I drop her again?
You dropped me again.
No, I did not.
No, there's a thunderstorm here. I think it's interfering with all kinds of signals.
Well, sorts of hot here. Ugh. I'm sitting in the shade. I did mention, because she, Female Satan, brought up, or we were talking about the ONA and how mm-hmm. I see a difference as the ONA being a pack rather than a herd because of the fact that they don't recruit, and because you kind of fall in, you have to fall into something like the ONA.
Yeah.
So I found that to be an example of one pack that can't necessarily be compared to a herd, which disproves my theory that herds and packs are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think a pack definitely implies structure. And even though the structure of the ONA is completely self-imposed, people either meet the criterion and enact it in their own lives or they don't, it's still a structure. And so I would still consider that a very different type of thing than a herd.
Well, you could still consider a structure in a herd. It's just more based on there's one on top and many on the bottom, rather than
for me
the
difference. Go ahead.
Oh, I was done.
Oh no, for me the difference is how the members in the herd or the pack perceive themselves, because animals in a herd see themselves as moving together. You know, in kind of a collective way, or they see each of themselves as individual agents. But in the case of a pack, everybody knows which direction they're going and why. And that's based on some type of authority, whether the authority is imbued in a person or tradition or something else.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I also think that at least, you know, especially with what we're talking about, I certainly think that, you know, it's Orc said you kind of fall into one, but I also think, too, that like with a pack, they do at least tend to be thinking, and they've developed common goals, and those can be small, and there'll be major differences between each individual within it, but there's a kind of essence that is exactly the same.
There's also a standard for packs, an assumption that the group is bound together by some kind of commonality and that there would be grounds for exclusion, whereas a herd is just a herd. Anybody will do. They're all sheep. They're all cattle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way, like, for example, I'm going to think throw out Christians there because it's the most clear mm-hmm. typical reference that I can make at the moment, you know, as a herd reference,
mm-hmm.
they are also very, they'll include anyone, but if you're not in their mind state, then they'll push you away.
Yes.
So they do similar things to what you say.
If you're lucky, they'll push you away.
Mm-hmm. That's just creepy. But I see what you mean because, you know, I always joke about the fact that I was baptized Catholic. And according to the Catholic faith, it doesn't matter what I do in my whole entire life, as long as somewhere along the lines, I mean, I could be 1 minute away from my death and I could just be like, all right, I'm ready, and then I will ascend to purgatory, where I will sit until Jesus comes back. And then I'll go to heaven, because I've been baptized, and y'all have.
You are shield crashed on forever.
I have been branded by oil. So I am safe. So that is a good example, because I have not lived anywhere near a good Catholic schoolgirl life. Then again, the Catholic schoolgirl stereotypes, none of them have either. So,
oh, please. I disagree. See, Catholicism is pretty easy on this, okay? Like, if you cannot go every Wednesday or every Friday into that little box and get and tell that little man about what you did for some free therapy, then shoot, maybe you just don't deserve to go to heaven. Like, you have to try really hard to go to hell as a Catholic. You know what I'm saying? They have provisions. You know what I'm saying? No.
Yeah, they do have major loopholes.
No. I'm sorry, Sylvia. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's provisions. Whereas if you're an evangelical, you're saved. But if you backslide, you're fucking backslid. You know what I'm saying? You're good. You can't get re-saved.
Well, I'm glad I was baptized Catholic.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You have a platinum plan on your afterlife. You know what I'm saying? Like, if initiary rights were credit cards.
I know I'm going to heaven.
Exactly. If initiary rights were credit card plans, you would have, like, the black platinum visa. You know what I'm saying? Your shit is redeemed.
At least I have some kind of credit card. That's what I have. I have a lifetime coupon book that I just dig into every time I want to sin.
That's
every
what you got.
Every time I go on sin. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's hidden somewhere so nobody can steal that shit. I mean, it has my name on it and stuff, but you can't take it. You know, your fingers will burn. Unless you're a true Catholic, and then I'm probably screwed. I think they're interchangeable. Haven't tested it out yet. I'll get back to you on that. Let's see. This was a suggestion that I was given. So right now I'm actually reading the suggestion. I want to get back into the conversation of being the loner and actually excommunicating yourself from the pack. Even excommunicating yourself, the first steps that you take out of getting out of a herd, because there are pros and cons to both of those. The pros, obviously, getting out of the herd, you're not, well, as Betty called it, cattle anymore. You have your own thoughts. You have your own processes. Everything that you do is now individual to you. And any Christians out there that do things that are individual to them, shame on you. But sometimes leaving the pack, I've noticed, can backfire. And you'll get a lot of flack from those around you that you considered your pack or your circle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that tends to happen a lot. Usually you form an opinion that is controversial to your pack's opinion, and then they pretty much get on you about it. And I know that throwing it through the quote-unquote fire or whatever method you use to test the strength of your opinions and your processes and what you do, I know it's important. But there are some times that I feel like it's less of them testing your merit and more of them just really getting on your case because they think they can.
Well, I disagree with that because I don't think it happens. I don't know. I've never really had it happen with anything where I would say that it wasn't a argument didn't have merit of some kind, you know. And, I mean, most of the time on forums, there's a reason that somebody said, hey, wait a minute, what is this? You know, and there's also, you know, there's always that moment that you have to make that choice to kind of say yes or no, which is, you know, it's been thrown in the fire, so to speak. You know, even if they all disagree, is it something that, to me, I still feel is strong? And then you have to say, no, I'm going to keep this one, you know, and this is mine, I'm keeping it, sorry. You know, and that can be difficult, but it can, you know, I've seen it done before and have, you know, even work out for the person that did, you know.
Well, I got to say, I have been in a position where I had a pack that I did not want, and I acquired, you know, by honest means, you know, they gravitated towards me because I added something to their life. And, you know, I figured, you know, I'm going well, I have friends, and I didn't try for them. And I had to extricate those people, you know, cut myself out. And, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to bring this around to the actual topic of the conversation. But it does tell you a bit about how these things form. Like, there's a certain percentage of people that are always looking for someone to measure themselves against, someone to give them value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're cool and you act like you don't give a shit, then, you know, those people, they come to you.
Like a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in the past year I've been doing. There's been certain members that I'll talk to and they'll tell me about, you know, all these people that seem to surround them, or they'll talk to me about other members that seemingly have this huge circle of people that want to be around them. And I always PM them, and I think I'm clever. I don't care if anybody thinks I'm clever, but I think I'm clever. And I always tell these certain individuals, you've made it, you know, and I laugh at them because they all have their fan club, and that's what I call them. Really, because I think there's a difference between falling into a pack and having a pack of people around you that, you know, it turns into a fan club with my most non-favorite word ever, fangirl or fanboy. And that whole aspect completely turns me off to anything that it surrounds, whether that be a person or a group, or an idea. I think it was either Jake or Diavolo. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on it. But they said something to the extent that if everyone is doing it, then that is a sign to me that I should not be doing it.
Yeah,
and that's what ruined vampires for me. No, man, I've been, like, crazy into vampires since well before it was cool, you know? And people thought I was fucking weird, that I had mental problems. And now I go into any high school and I see all the girls who wouldn't admit they were friends with me 6 or 7 years ago dressing in a slightly lamer version of my shtick from 6 or 7 years ago. And I don't know how to feel. Like, this is tough. I grew up as an outsider and as a gothy kid, only to find out retroactively that I am, in fact, a trendsetter.
I actually was the same way.
Congratulations, Betty. You have made it.
Well, I'm technically, I'm older, and I was the same way. So, yeah. And no, I hate it. And it's completely watered down now, and it's very toxic for vampires are. You know,
it just glamorizes teen dating violence half the time.
Yeah. I about the time Twilight came in, I checked out.
I personally, I don't like people in general. So whenever I get too many people that want to be around me, I turn into Uber cunt and try to get as many of them away from me as possible. Well, luckily for me, I, like, outside and even in my job, I'm considered the crazy-ass bitch that works at Subway, so I don't have to worry about my coworkers so much.
Uh-huh.
But I really do. I go to extensive lengths not to be associated with too many people because that can cause problems. It really
uh-huh.
can. Sure, at first it's like, oh, cool, you know, these people want to talk to me and stuff. But I've had some really weird people want to talk to me and just not stop talking to me. And that's when I have to try to get them to go away. And sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just...
A lot of people want to talk to me and get to know me. For some reason, only the weird ones stay. And, I mean, I'm in my element when I'm surrounded by fangirls and fanboys. I mean, I don't know if that makes me a bad Satanist because I really don't have a misanthropic bone in my body. I don't. Orgasmic. But they're so adorable. You know, them people.
Do
you have cats?
Adorable.
Ever
like, like the beginning of this conversation when I mentioned the guy that went on the shooting spree and stuff. Wicked Pop's mom saw a picture of the dude while they were looking for him, and she goes, see, you never know, that he looks like a nice guy. Back in my head, I go, oh, shit, I know I'm a bad person, because I looked at that, and it was a mugshot, too, but I looked at the picture, and I went, yeah, I believe it. I just don't
That doesn't
hold
make you a bad person.
Well, I don't hold any real... For lack of a better term, faith for humanity. I just don't. I assume I go into every interaction with most people assuming that they either want something from me, which is usually the case, or they're assholes, which even if they weren't an asshole, by the time they get done with my attitude, they are assholes. Or I just try to avoid talking to them, period. Simply because as I've grown up, I've learned that me and people, we just don't get along. It's like I'm a completely different species for some reason. I don't know.
Well, now, my experience is a bit different because I could probably count on one hand the people that I really, really, really consider friends, like really good friends, and some of them I've had for years. You know, and others I've had, you know, maybe for a year or something like that. But, I mean, most of them I've known for a really, really, really long time. And, like, you know, they're my girls, so to speak. But, wait, I've you know, like, I understand what Betty's saying because I'm that way in a way. Like, I do, or at least I did, I'm getting broke of it, especially in the recent weeks where, like, I have always been a fairly nice person and extended, you know, respect and other things to other people, and they just kind of, like, punch me in the face continuously. I just, you know, people screw me over all the time because I'm nice, and I'm starting to actually change my, you know, my attitude about it. It's like, you know, okay, fine. Yeah, you know what? I hate you guys. Like, it's starting to change now where that didn't really exist before, and it's a sudden thing. It's just kind of like, you know, I woke up one day and I was like, you know, all these times, all these things, it just keeps happening over and over and over again. You know, maybe I'm the problem for not just assuming that everybody's out to get me or is an asshole because I keep getting screwed over, you know?
Oh, yeah,
it's
definitely
not a bad assumption.
No. Well,
it's
know,
a good
I
working
guess,
hypothesis.
Yeah.
In my area,
and I think
I'm 98% correct. Most of the time. If mm-hmm. I'm wrong, I apologize, and I rarely apologize because I rarely feel remorseful for shit. But I have been known to apologize every once in a while, but in my area, it is safe to say you can approach a person and act respectful towards them, but in the back of your head, it's always very beneficial to keep in the back of your head, okay, I don't know this person, or even if you do know this person, because you never really know a person, period.
No, exactly,
yeah. Keep it in the back of your head and say, look, I'm going to show you as much respect as you show me, and as soon as you show me disrespect, well, then it doesn't matter because you're not going to be a part of my life, period. And I've avoided a lot of drastic situations because of that. And I've also avoided a lot of good friendships that I could have had. So it's a double-edged sword.
Well, I think what allows me... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, what liberates me and basically gives me the freedom to be as much of a social person, to be as embedded in all that shit and all that risk, because it is always a double-edged sword, is the fact that I really don't have any illusions about people, but for some reason, the fact that most of them are stupid assholes in no way detracts from their entertainment value to me. And so it's not
that I'm super warm-hearted. Well, see, I always say I don't have a heart, so I'm set on that platform right there. Anything that has to do with the heart, you don't really necessarily have to depend on me. I can't speak about that. I don't have one.
And I would say that mine is soft and strong, and I don't know, but it's a worthwhile experiment. If you expect nothing from people, absolutely nothing, then they can only surprise you.
That's true. I just tend to think that people are going to, I don't know, extend the same kind of, you know, niceness, respect, et cetera, that I do to them. So, you know, and that's the other thing I've realized is that I'm definitely falling under solipsism quite a bit, and that I tend to think that people are like me somehow, or that they're going to operate like me. Like if I say something, I will do it. But then as time goes on, I start realizing, like, no, most people, if they say something, they don't mean that they're going to do it, you know. And I've had to learn that the hard way in a lot of ways, because I've explained it to some people. I am like a nurturer mother gone wrong a lot of times, in that, like, I want to help people. Now, this is such a bad trait, because, like, If somebody is the equivalent of a bird with a broken wing, I want to like pick them up and like fix them and rescue them and then feel good about it afterwards. Except, you know, I always get screwed because they never really were, you know, or I'm being, and like I said, I know it's a nurturer instinct gone wrong. Basically, is what's happened. Is that for some reason I want to, you know, mother the world in a way, rather than, you know, just focus on me and my own sometimes.
Okay, I'm going to be a bad influence on you.
Okay.
You're already immersed in bad influences. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I'm not knowing a person. But what you got to do is extend your compassion to the entire human species and think about the harm that the continued existence of that person could have on that body.
I've got you.
That's exactly what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's something I've been struggling with, and particularly recently, is just realizing that, you know, I need to kind of stop that, because it's hurting me more than it's hurting other people, for sure.
And you always got to ask yourself, and I don't know if this is the case for you, but for a while, especially in high school, I had a lot of, not friends, I had a lot of people that needed to talk to me every day. And I stopped and asked myself once, why am I the only person these people talk to? Why am I the only person that can be voluntarily coerced into listening to them? And you know, it makes sense after a while. You gotta, if you're the only person that somebody else has, then that should be indicative.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I would agree. I actually have neighbors. I was laughing when you said that because I have neighbors that used to be like that before they moved where, like, they would just, like this one woman, she would just randomly show up at the door to talk to me for, like, 2 hours about her problems, like, every single day. Or she was borrowing stuff. It was one or the other.
Was it 1940?
It kind of is. I live in the suburbs, actually. It's very typical. Kids riding their bikes on the sidewalks and, you know, swing sets out back. Fences, yeah, yeah, actually. It's pretty close to that, where I live at. But, yeah, yeah, it's, you do it every day. And I actually had an issue. Like, I had a problem myself, and I tried to talk to her about it. And, like, as soon as I started talking to her, she interrupted me to start telling her about my problems. I was like, yeah, you're not my friend, you know.
No, you're just knows a piece of furniture that knows where my house is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, no, exactly, and that's the, you know, and it happens all the time that I'm working on right now, like I'm, and I'm at kind of like, right now I just kind of hate everybody stage. I'm hoping it kind of mellows out a little bit, because...
Well, you're the mother to a teenage planet. There we go.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I can't say that I was never like that. I mean, in high school, I used to be like that. And it could just be that as I grew up, I went the more pessimistic route. As I have been told over and over again, I am a pessimist. I will deny that fully. I think I am a realist. But I think most pessimists in denial call themselves realists. I don't see the point. And like I said, there are some people that will come up to me and be, I'm going to kill myself. Well, go do it then. Stop bothering me. I'm a rather mean person.
You can't make these people any more miserable by telling them, look, you're a hapless swine.
Yeah, go away. Yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly, yeah.
So I think we kind of got away from the topic.
We do that.
In a way. Not necessarily, though, because within the conversation, we did actually provide a context of certain individuals that would be more likely to wind up in a herd rather than a pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For example, your neighbor. Mm-hmm. Not fast. Your neighbor would be one of those people that would probably end up in a herd. And essentially did end up in a herd with you being her focal point or her support, which brings up another element of a herd versus a pack. In a herd,
yep.
It seems to me that they need a support. They need a crutch. And that's usually their leader, their alpha, is the crutch in their life. Whereas in a pack, they all pretty much stand singly and individually, and they don't need that leadership.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason I'm much more likely I think I fall into more of a pack mentality than, say, a strict loner mentality, because I'm not a loner according to principle. I just am, you know, by disposition. I find myself alone in a lot of positions, but I do respond to legitimate authority. Because there's a difference between earned authority and ascribed authority. Authority can be arbitrary, or it can be something that is self-evident. You know what I'm saying? Like, people just recognize that one person is apt to lead. And it doesn't lower me or even put me in a position of subservience to that person to recognize it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would agree, actually, with you for myself in a way. Yeah, I somebody who's more experienced or more knowledgeable, you know it, you can tell, and I do at least tend to listen, you know, stop and listen, rather than just, you know, well, no, I'm not going to listen to you, you know. I don't do that at all, you know. I do try to, you know, if somebody's, you know, definitely superior to me in some way, yeah. Yeah, they've got my attention most of the time.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't... Yeah, I think you do.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like I wouldn't argue geometry with somebody who was, you know, working on their PhD, you know.
Exactly.
Like, you're probably right. Yeah, you know, I took that in high school. Sorry. My mistake.
Those are the social skills I actually do have, is I can recognize legitimate authority and I put myself in the proper relationship to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh. So, between the three of us, would you consider, and I know Herd is going to be crossed out of this almost, and Betty almost actually already answered this. So, between being in a pack and being on your lonesome, which one would you prefer?
It depends on what I'm doing. If I'm trying to accomplish a goal, like a concrete goal in the exterior world, I will almost always benefit from being able to do so in tandem with a team. Because I work well in teams. Yeah, I'm pretty good either listening to somebody else that does know what they're doing or setting a plan and trying to instill a vision in a group or just figuring out where everybody is best to go in different places. But when it comes to most things that are really important, like when it comes to figuring out what I think and what I want then and where I'm going, then that always occurs in solitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd absolutely agree.
Like, I will participate in a group, like, if I find that its gears fit in with my gears, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it just naturally, organically works.
See,
yeah,
so
exactly.
You and FS are on the same side of the fence. I would completely I tend to write off packs. If there's a pack, I avoid it. And if I am a part of a pack, it is completely and entirely by accident. I prefer to play by myself. I like social interaction. I like having a certain amount of friends and getting along and sharing common views with other people. I just don't necessarily, I don't mesh very well with other people, and sometimes I get tripped up on how I personally feel on some of their perspectives that might not even have anything to do with the ultimate goal of being a part of that pack. So I'm on the other side of the fence there because I would prefer, in almost all cases, whether I'm trying to affect the external world or my internal being, I almost prefer to always be by myself in that pursuit simply because, one, if someone's making a mistake, it's going to be me. And I can correct that easier than if I'm in a pack with a bunch of people, someone makes a mistake, then it's harder to clean up.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, I get what Betty's saying is that, you know, it tends to be organic and it tends to be relatively voluntary in a way. And, like, you know, my mistakes are not necessarily the mistakes of somebody that I associate with for some reason, you know, and that you'll have that common goal and then everything else will probably differ, you know, and it really doesn't bother me how widely those things will differ as long as we're going after the common goal.
Like how the three of us came together.
Yeah, exactly.
Aww.
I know.
It's so cute.
And we're not even a pack. This is a straight-up gang.
Exactly.
According to Michigan, if it's three or more, you are considered a gang. How do you
Absolutely.
Guys feel
Everybody
about
throw up the hand
sign.
We got one. Awesome. Yeah, I saw it. That was great.
They're like a Midwest, East Coast gang. We cover half the United States, you guys. How do you feel about that? That's pretty freaking powerful.
I just want to say that as far as gangs go, the most dangerous colors, or the colors of the most dangerous crew on the face of the planet, are red, white, and blue. Okay? And the most dangerous gangbangers on the face of the planet, just, no. Let's be real here. The most dangerous gangbangers on the face of the planet, if you want to talk about, like, collectives of people coming together to, you know, undertake illegal activities, watch each other's backs, and accumulate power for themselves. Yeah, no, they're not in the street.
No, not at all.
They got a uniform, and it looks real fucking sharp.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Plus, too, I think with the United States in general, I think that we just, the citizens of the United States definitely have a bit of a gang mentality. Like, you know, we think we're number one even when, you know, the U.S. is, like, you know, completely in the toilet. It's like, well, we're still the best country. But why? Because we're America. Kiss our ass, you know.
I think that's why I thought it was so amusing when I was signing up for Skype. And you have to have your country code. And America's country code, of course, is the number one.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, exactly.
That's because we were the first ones making international calls, though.
No. Just because, yeah, I know, and I actually think that's part of what keeps this country going sometimes, is that mentality, is what, you know, well, try it, you know, we're still better than you. Oh, well, you're better in education, your people speak multiple languages, so we have bigger bombs, we'll kick your ass.
We can blow glass, how about that?
Yeah. There was a thread like that one time, actually, which was really funny because it was MJ started a thread saying that basically America was not number one, and the reaction of the Americans made it really indicative.
Oh,
like,
hell no. I know I was not on spin. I know this was before my time.
It was, but it was kind of this mentality of, well, you have all the statistics, but I don't care. We're still better than you. Well, no, and there were people, yeah, they were listing out, you know.
I can see Deutsch, Michael? I didn't fucking think so. You're welcome.
Exactly. That was just racist. It was like, yeah, it was so funny because I think it was a son of Jack who said something to the effect of, well, Americans are kind of juggalo about their country, so you got to get over it. You can't convince us otherwise.
I think it still says something that when we lose a couple of decimal plates, and not decimal plates, like, when we throw a couple of decimal places around willy-nilly and the bottom falls out of our housing market, everybody else still has to scramble.
Exactly.
So, like, when I say we're the greatest country on the face of the fucking planet, I'm talking specifically about scale. You know, I'm saying greater as opposed to lesser.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So until somebody
yeah.
else's GDP is bigger, like, until somebody else makes stealth planes that we even have to worry about, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, until somebody else is making, you know, stealth planes that we can't find on our iPhones, then I am really worried about it. But, yeah, no, in
our
parents' country, it's crumbling.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's
it counts
down
to the end of the show, too. Did you all hear that?
Well, what?
All right. Well, according to my countdown, we have 90 seconds left in the show. So I'm going to go ahead and head us out by saying, fuck yeah, America. We rule. And
if you disagree, fucking do something.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
All right, ladies, I'll see you back at soon.
All right.